Matthew chapter 5. I want to talk to you today about salt substitutes. Have you ever tried using salt substitutes? You know, 2 or 3 years ago I had a little cardiac event, and you know, they keep telling me that I'm supposed to use these salt substitutes. You ever tried those things? They're not salt, are they? They don't have the taste of salt. I think the worst thing I ever tasted was watermelon with salt substitute on it. That is just not good. It doesn't have the consistency of salt. It doesn't have the properties of salt. BJ, what in the world does that have to do with the Bible? Well, if you look with me there in Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 13, the Bible says, Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men." Well, I heard a story of a little boy who one day asked his mother, "Would you give me $1 if I'll be a good boy?" She said, "Son, why don't you just be good for nothing like your father?" You know, there are a lot of Christians out there who are exactly that. They are good for nothing. Jesus said that they are like salt that has lost its savor. They have become salt substitutes. They're cast out, good for nothing, but to be trodden under the foot of men. That's what he said there in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13. Now, why did Jesus use this salt metaphor to describe those who would be his followers? Well, we need to look at the significance of salt in Jesus' time in order to understand that. You see, in the society in which Jesus lived, pure salt was often more valuable than gold. As a matter of fact, salt was a rare delicacy. You couldn't just, you know, drive down to the grocery store and pick up a bag of salt like we can today. And often it was a medium of exchange. As a matter of fact, you may not know this, but our word salary comes from the word salt. It literally means salt money. And in that age and in the Roman world, in that time, slaves were often purchased with salt. Salt was paid in return. And that is where the expression came from, "That man is worth his salt." Salt was valuable because of what it did. And if we are to be the salt of the earth, we need to understand what salt is and how salt works. How are we to be salt in our culture in this day? So what I want to do is very quickly, I want to show you 6 characteristics of salt. 6 characteristics of salt. First of all, I want you to notice that salt seasons. We all understand that, don't we? That's the main reason why most of us use it. Salt causes flavor to come alive. In the book of Job, we read this question, Job chapter 6 and verse 6. "Can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the white of an egg?" One little boy said, when asked the definition of salt, he said, "Salt's what tastes bad when you don't have it." And that's what salt is. Salt adds flavor. And, you know, most people in the world are living a bland and flavorless life. That's the reason that so many are striving to find some kind of high. There's no excitement. There's no thrill. Their lives are tasteless and bland. But, you know, Christians ought to be different. We should add flavor and zest to life. I had a young man approach me one day. He was supposedly a Christian. But he told me, this was the statement he made. He said, "You know, Christians are boring." I think he meant everybody but me. Not me, but him, you know. Christians are boring. Is that true? Well, if you mean by that true believers refrain from pursuing the world's delights and engaging in sinful behavior, then I would have to agree. But then what you would really be saying is Christians are holy and righteous, and that's not the same as boring. The Christians I know who really love the Savior and serve and honor the Lord with their lives are anything but boring. As a matter of fact, Jesus told us, he said, I have come that you may not only have life, but that you may have it more abundantly. That word abundantly, parousos, means beyond abundant, superabundant, superlative. That is, life to the highest level possible. That's the kind of life that Jesus came to give us. Not bland, flavorless, tasteless life, but life that is to the fullest. Salt seasons. But another thing that salt does is that salt preserves. Salt is also valuable because it preserves. When Jesus made this statement in our text, he was standing by the Sea of Galilee teaching what we know as the Sermon on the Mount. And many of those in his audience were fishermen. And when he spoke of the salt of the earth, because of their occupation, they knew what he was talking about. They knew that part of what he was talking about was the preserving power of salt. See, in that day, salt prevented decay and restrained corruption. It was necessary to salt the fish down to keep them edible. Folks, if ever there was a day when we need the preserving power of the gospel salt, it is this day of corruption and deadly decay. Amen? We need to be preaching the gospel, sharing the gospel, telling the gospel, because it is the salt of the gospel that preserves and prevents decay and corruption. You know, the Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that there is coming a day when Jesus Christ is going to return and he is going to sweep the church out of this world and take them back to heaven. Those of us who have been born again, who are believers in Jesus Christ, who are indwelled by the Spirit of God, Jesus is going to come and he's going to rapture the church and take us to heaven to be with him. And then the Bible tells us that after that, immediately after that, the world is going to enter a time, a seven-year period called the tribulation. And during that time, the world is going to be plunged into unbelievable corruption and ruin. You know why? The reason is because the salt has been removed. The reason is because when Jesus comes and takes away the salt, takes away the church, the preserving power of the gospel of the church of Jesus Christ is going to be removed. Now, we could spend some time about that, but one of these days we're going to share some messages on last things, and so we'll save that to then. But salt seasons, and salt also preserves. But something else that salt does is that salt heals. Not only does salt season and preserve, but it heals. Take your Bibles and just keep a finger there in Matthew chapter 5 and turn over the Old Testament to 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. And let's look at another attribute, another property, if you will, of salt. 2 Kings chapter 2. Beginning with verse 20, 2 Kings chapter 2, beginning with verse 30. The Bible says, when they returned to Elisha, who was staying in Jericho, he said to them, didn't I tell you not to go? And the men of the city said to Elisha, look, our Lord, this town is well situated, as you can see, but the water is bad and the land is unproductive. Bring me a new bowl, he said, and put salt in it. And so they brought it to him, and then he went to the spring and threw the salt into it, saying, this is what the Lord says, I have healed this water. Never again will it cause death or make the land unproductive, and the water has remained wholesome to this day according to the word Elisha had spoken. Here we find Elisha putting a cruse of salt into deadly, poisonous, polluted water, and those waters were healed. And out of their barrenness and bitterness, there came blessedness. Why? Well, certainly God performed a miracle there, but the illustration is clear. Salt has antiseptic and healing properties to it, and we know that. We understand that. As a matter of fact, in Bible times, when little babies were born, they would give the baby a saline bath, a salt bath, in order to hold down infections. And other cultures, they will take a little baby and rub them down with salt. And so we find in the Bible that salt seasons. We find that salt preserves, that salt heals. But there's something else that I want you to notice that salt does. And that is that salt irritates. Irritates, doesn't it? Have you ever gotten a cut on your hand and then gotten salt into it? Salt burns and irritates. When Jesus said in Mark chapter 9, verse 49, "You shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt." His figure of speech indicated that fire and salt have something in common. Salt burns like fire. Be aware. Be aware that the truth of God's word, when it is rubbed into this diseased world, is going to sting. See, when the salty gospel of Jesus Christ is presented, it will sting. It will offend. There is an offense to the cross, to the world, because in order to be redeemed, we first have to admit that we're lost, admit that we're sinners, admit that we are separated from God. And many don't want to hear that. They want to go on with their corrupt lives, doing the things that they did before, and they're not willing to come to that place where they allow the salt of the gospel to bring healing into their lives. And so it penetrates, but it also irritates. When the gospel is rubbed into the open, bleeding wounds of a society, it will burn. You know, there are people who don't like to hear the clear, unadulterated teaching of the gospel. But you know what? We can't make ourselves sick in order to make them well. We have to stop trying to win popularity contests. There are people who prefer a non-irritating brand of the gospel, and there are plenty of preachers out there who are preaching it. But the true gospel, when presented, will irritate a sinful world. But you know what? No offense, no effect. No offense, no effect. And we got to quit worrying about everybody liking us and start being concerned about being obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. Something else is that salt penetrates. You know, there are a lot of interesting characteristics about salt. A pinch of salt in a jug of water will permeate the entire jug. As a matter of fact, salt is one of the few major compounds that will dissolve equally well in either hot or cold water. But you know, in our culture and in our generation, we've not allowed the salt to penetrate. We come to church every Sunday and we sit in our big stained glass salt cellar and we salt the salt. It's what we do. But folks, you don't put fish in one barrel and the salt in another. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth," not the salt of the church, but the salt of the earth. We must get the salt to the source where it can penetrate, where it can activate, where it can change our society. We need to guard ourselves from becoming a salt warehouse. Instead, we need to be salt shakers. We need to be out shaking the salt on this corrupt and crooked and evil and weary world and telling them about Jesus Christ. Why are Bible-believing Christians mocked in today's society? Why are we no longer respected? Well, it is, sadly, because of another characteristic of salt, and that is that salt can dissipate. Look at that verse again, our text again, and look at what Jesus said. He said, "You are the salt of the earth, but," don't forget that, "you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness," the King James says, "loses its savor, how can it be made salty again?" It's a rhetorical question. The answer is implied. It cannot. And he goes on to say it's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. Folks, I want to tell you, I believe it breaks the heart of Jesus Christ that the church has lost its saltiness. We've lost our saltiness. We've become good for nothing. We've become saltless saints. And I wonder sometimes, what will it take to bring us to our knees? And you notice I'm not saying you, I'm saying us, because I'm included in this as well. What will it take to bring us to our knees? If ever there was a need for the salt to work, it is at this hour, because corruption and decay are emerging all around us. Salt can lose its savor, and when it does, what is it good for? Jesus tells us, nothing. Nothing. When salt loses its vitality, when salt has lost its pungency, it is good for nothing. And in that age, it was good for nothing more than paving the roads. That's what they used it for. When salt had lost its saltiness, they would put it down because it would pack down and absorb moisture and kill the grass and weeds. It was only good to walk on, to be tread upon by the feet of men. Never before in history, never before in history have we seen Christians held up to more open ridicule than in this day in which we live. The favorite sport today is Christian bashing in the media and in academia. Why is that? Primarily, I believe, because of a society of saltless saints who've lost their savor and are now being trampled underfoot because we have failed to present the Lord Jesus Christ in His purity, to present the Lord Jesus Christ in His integrity and with His vitality. We have failed to be salt shakers and to shake the salt on the world. We have become a generation of salt substitutes. So what do you mean by that, BJ? We have become a generation of salt substitutes who have replaced the gospel with games, gifts, and goodies. We'll talk to people about anything but Jesus. You know it's true. True of me, it's true of you. You know what Jesus said? He said, "We're good for nothing." I didn't say it, Jesus did. Saltless saints are good for nothing. That's what He said. If we are not witnessing, if we are not sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, if we're not telling people about Jesus, if we're not telling people that they're lost and that they're going to hell, if we're not sharing the saving gospel of Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what else we're doing. Jesus said, "You're worthless." May God help us to be salty saints, presenting the salty gospel of a vibrant, living Savior to a world that is desperate for His preserving and redeeming power. Salty saints and the power of God is the only thing that will make a difference and change this world. Folks, let me. I know that's kind of a downer to end on, so let me just turn the flip side here. Don't be a salt substitute. All right? Spice up your life. Tell someone about Jesus. Spice up your life. Tell someone about Jesus. Don't be salt that has lost its flavor. Don't substitute other things for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be salt.